Our first speaker after the break, we're shifting away from some of the crop modeling and the social science part of our work and into more of the products that we're delivering. So we're shifting into a discussion of our tools. And our first speaker is Dennis Toddy from South Dakota State.
Thank you, Linda. I'm trying to decide what I want to talk about. I'm being a good extension person to deciding whether my slides really represent what I should talk about at this point or not. So I'm actually much better at responding to things rather than creating new things. So I guess I should recognize I think I am representing the climatologists of the group. You've heard from one, Jeff Andreessen here, and Linda is an honorary climatologist. Jenna and Otto, you are an honorary climatologist. Jenna, we should make you an honorary climatologist too, which doesn't all that in a rain gauge means you have to measure rainfall for kokoras. Okay, all right. It got to Purdue. I know it got to Purdue. Okay. So you've heard quite a bit about Purdue already, and we're going to show you the lovely faces of folks who are involved here. And I don't know why that worked out, but I put circles around our climate folks, because what we're going to talk about is a bit of, I know it looks kind of strange the way the circles worked out, but I'm not a graphical kind of person. So, and an important part of, you've heard about different parts of the project, the importance of this, I think, is having climate people who are out in the field, especially there were 5 state climatologists involved and 2 regional climate centers and then a couple other extension climate folks. And the importance of having people who are out in the field working with people in some form helps to guide how people can make decisions or how we can guide how you develop a tool to make a decision. Because we've heard about some of the social science. Adam did a great job. You've heard quite a bit about the modeling components of this. But there's also sometimes not modeling that is there to be done or not modeling that is readily available. And sometimes we need to be able to give decisions or give guidance on decisions that need to occur when we don't have a lot of good other guidance. So that's part of what we're trying to do. I was thinking about trying to show, for those of you who look at the Climate Prediction Center, they are the ones who make the long-range outlooks. The climatologists always chuckle about large areas of what are called EC, equal chances, which basically says we don't have good information one way or the other. So how do you take information that it doesn't look like there's something there, but make it into something that people can use? So, so why is it important to have people who are doing work out in the field, especially from a climate perspective? I guess I kind of talk about state, and just a quick background on what state climatologists are. Adam introduced you a little bit to them. Briefly on why there's different flavors of climatologists from state to state, it's because they were, when the climate program used to be in the federal government as part of the U.S., the National Weather Service, it was turned back over to the states during some budget cuts in the early 70s. So when you go by state, it varies by how each state has handled it. But it is very important because a lot of these folks do, especially in the Midwest, work with agriculture, how we interact with agriculture, and helping people make decisions. So, I've introduced who are some of our folks are. Dev Naogi from Indiana. Jim Angel from Illinois, Jeff, you've seen from Michigan already, Pat Ganon from Missouri, and myself from South Dakota, and then the leads for the regional climate centers at the University of Illinois in the Midwest and the High Plains Regional Climate Center out of the University of Nebraska. Also part of this is also not only trying to develop tools, but trying to connect information to make decisions. If you have been around the agricultural community the last few years, you've seen that area has become rather crowded, and crowded by people who are a lot better funded than we are. A little group out of Monsanto that's got a few dollars behind them trying to make decisions, and John Deere, who else is in that arena now? Pioneer, yes, and making their own decisions. Which is an interesting aspect because it shows the need for there to be decisions, but it's also an important aspect of understanding that you're using good information to make those decisions. We get asked, I'm sure Jeff does too, about, you know, what is the quality of these? And we can't respond to them because they are proprietary pieces of information. We can't see them. Fortunate aspect, we in this community are developing tools that are wide open. You can see completely what's behind them. The other aspect I've thrown in our vortex of decisions that has gotten quite a bit of traffic recently, this is one of the other products, of trying to connect agronomic decisions, and not to go into this in great detail, Gene Tockley was a lead on what journal was that in? EOS, yes, on linking long-term decisions and how much skill we have or when we need to give them outlook information to make those decisions. But it's, again, trying to connect information and outlooks along with what decisions people are trying to make. So I do encourage you this afternoon to come to see some of our tools, but we're going to give you a brief rundown of some of the background on some of them also. I guess one more sidelight piece along with this is you've seen some of the modeling that occurs already. There's also somewhat of a disconnect between what data, and we're talking about data that has been gathered over a long period of time, and what models, the modeling framework now and what's going to be happening in the future, is sometimes people don't get those two lined up well. We have data, long-term temperature and precipitation data measurements that can give us some context of the climate scenario, and that's a lot of the information that has gone into these tools, is what temperature and precipitation data can we use to be able to lead to some of those decisions. So on the website, Ag Climate For You website, we have what's called the Decision Dashboard, where we have these tools and a large number of different products, where Melissa Widholm, again, has grabbed different pieces that producers can help make decisions as part of the project with different maps, different reports, and our decision suite. And that's what we'll show you next, and to give you just a brief rundown on what some of those are. This is the current set of tools that exists right now. We'll briefly run through those. This afternoon you'll get an opportunity to run down and play with them in much more detail. You can do it right now if you have your smartphone or computer ready. Probably our most successful and most widely used, for obvious reasons, has been our corn growing degree day tool. An important question that all the state climatologists agreed on, we got questions about, is where are we in the way of growing degree days? Well, when you're talking about growing degree days, there are many variables that are involved and include, you know, what kind of crop did you plant, when did you plant, where are we in the season, those sorts of things that a single map doesn't do very well, so this has allowed the producers to make those decisions readily. And we'll walk through some of these other ones. And what it allows you to do is to make climate risk decisions on your risk of reaching maturity. For those like Hans in the southern part of the Corn Belt, it's not as big a question. Those of us in the northern part of the Corn Belt, excuse me, it's a very common question as to, you know, if you have a bit of a shorter season, are we going to make it to maturity before the freeze hits? And we've had several years where we could tell people, no, it's not going to happen. Jeff had that last year in Michigan, where delayed planting and cooler summer, we're able to say, no, you're not going to be able to reach maturity. Other years, here's what your risk of reaching maturity is and making those kinds of decisions. Also, activity planning and marketing that can be done with this kind of information. Helps if you go the right direction. Here's a graph that indicates, you know, what our growing degree day tool looks like with the accumulation, the average accumulation, red line indicating tasseling, the black line hitting the black layer, and the freeze and frost dates. You'll learn a lot more about that this afternoon. Our other one, as one of our other economists like to call it, our gateway drug tool, is Ag Climate View, which is, again, using basic climate information, bringing climate information together in a place where you can access it, where you can grab the long-term temperature, precipitation data, and yield data to try to bring those pieces together for you at a local location. And then you can plot those out. Here's just a plot of a location from Iowa. You can plot out the yields for that same location in Iowa and bring those all together in one map to kind of link together what happened during different seasons. Why was this such a great growing season? Why was this a poor growing season? People remember this was a good year or a bad year, maybe don't understand why. This is a way of giving them that information. Our climate patterns viewer, our most applicable one right now, probably. because of what happens with El Niños and La Niñas. How many have heard of El Niño? Yeah, everybody's heard about El Niño. What does El Niño look like in February? Okay, I can answer that. Jeff can answer that. Not everybody can. This gives you that ability to look at this across our domain area, look at the different years, compare them. Again, we're just using climatology again, but putting climatology together with things that you've heard about to be able to give them good-looking maps. Probable fieldwork days, what is your potential for getting fieldwork done? Again, just another way of using climatology, long-term climate data, together with making a basic decision on planning out how much fieldwork you can get done in certain amounts of time. A similar one along with this, this has just come out for all the states, split nitrogen application. What is the likelihood of being able to do a split N application based, again, also on what field work you have, climatology of precipitation, and some economics related to this. So, come this afternoon, we'll talk about more of these, and I'll be happy to answer any more questions that you have at this point. Yes, Otto.
Your question, what should we have done differently?
What should we have done differently? I think I would have emphasized a little more time on the programming side to develop a few more tools. Because we had a list of probably 20 or 30 different ideas that we realized over time we were not going to have time to do. And to give you a little more quick background on how the tools were developed, they weren't done in a vacuum. We had some basic ideas on what we wanted to do. We mocked them up and put rough ones together, did surveying, went out and did focus groups and said, here's a decision we're trying to help you support. Here's what this looks like. Tell us what you think. And that takes time. That takes a lot of time. But it's that kind of co-development is how you develop something that people can use. So that's the main thing I would have changed. Otherwise, they picked the right number of state climatologists as the group. Always good. Always good. Okay. Thank you all.